You know, there's many of the laws of nature that have been discovered by mankind. For instance, Newton gave us three laws. The first of his laws is the law of inertia, which states that objects at rest will stay at rest unless acted on by some outside force, that they will, if they are in motion, they'll continue in motion in a straight line unless forever at the same speed unless acted on by some outside force, and so on. His second law states that force equals mass times acceleration. Third law state is the law of inertia. It states that, the law of equal and opposite reactions. Those are laws that mankind has discovered. There's the law of definite proportions, that we find that whenever two elements react together, they always react together in certain proportions. There's the law of entropy that tells us that the degree of disorder in a system always increases. Now, these are laws that mankind has studied. And some understand these laws enough to use the laws to make to make other discoveries and to find out things, basic things about nature. But there are laws, some of God's laws, that mankind has not learned. Though these laws are just as definite, just as sure, maybe more sure than these that mankind has learned. But mankind has not learned these laws of God. And for the most part, neither have we. These laws have been taught from this pulpit, from other pulpits in this church. They've been studied in Sunday school. They've been studied by those who pick up their books daily and study them. But they still don't understand them. Well, I've got some students at school that don't understand these other laws, even though I've taught them. They don't know how to use them and so on. But what I want to talk about this evening is a couple of these laws, a couple of God's laws. The first one I want to discuss is the law of giving. The basic tenet of that law is that you always get more than you give. Seemingly, we don't understand that law because we don't apply it to our lives the way we should. You know, it's really hard for us, and it's hard for me. And I'm telling you here that it is hard for us, meaning me and you, to really believe this basic principle of God. You know, we've heard it taught. We've heard testimonies of how it works. We even teach it, like I'm trying to do now, but we cannot really seem to put it into practice. Matthew 7:12, many of you know what that is. I want to state it correctly here, the way it's worded. So I'll turn to that. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. It tells us that we are to do to others, to give to others, if you would. I want to go to the second chapter of Mosiah on page 221 and read a few verses there, starting with verse 28. It says, "And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. Ye will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man has brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just." Do we find ourselves in that same boat, saying that same thing to ourselves? But it goes on and says, "But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold," and he's giving us the reason, "are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, both for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind?" Okay. We're beggars. We depend on God, whether we realize it or not, for all those things. And much of the world doesn't realize it at all. "And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And hath he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he has poured out his spirit upon you, and has caused that your hearts should be full of joy, and has caused that your mouths should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance. So exceeding great was your joy. And now, if God, who hath created you, on whom you are dependent for your lives, and for all that ye have and are, all ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right, in faith believing that ye shall receive, oh then, how had ye ought to impart of your substance that ye have to one another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perisheth not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation? For withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth, And yet ye put up no petition, nor repent of the thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those who are rich as pertaining to the things of this world. And again I say unto the poor, ye who have not and yet have sufficient, that ye remain from day to day, I mean all you who deny the beggar because ye have not, I would that ye should say in your hearts that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. And now if ye say this in your hearts, ye remain guiltless, otherwise ye are condemned and your condemnation is just, for ye covet that which ye have not received. And now for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that ye may walk guiltless before God, I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief both spiritually and temporally according to their wants. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. We are commanded to be a giving people. I want you to think a minute of the end effect of this giving. It's, you know, when we are giving and do right to others, I don't mean just giving substance, being right, doing just to others, what will we get back in return? We may never get anything back from that particular individual, but then again, we might. And it may not be material things, but it, according to these scriptures, a couple of the scriptures I'm going to read here in a minute, we will get more than we give. In the 6th chapter of Luke, starting with verse 27, says, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." You know, this isn't the only place in the scriptures that says this. It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Someone treats you badly, you want to withhold from them. But this is talking about giving love, doing good to them, even though they hate you. He goes on and says in verse 29, "And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give unto every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye thee? For sinners also lend to sinners, to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give," and here's the verse, "give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye may meet, wherewith it shall be measured unto you again." It'll be given back. Good measure. Pressed down. You know, you can get more in if you press it down. Shaken together. And still, it says, running over. That's more than you gave. You know, tithing is a part of this law of giving. I could read this out of either Malachi, the third chapter, starting with verse 7, or 3 Nephi, the 11th chapter, starting with verse 10. I think I'll go to 3 Nephi, and that's on page... Well, I got to find that. I didn't put the page down. The 11th chapter, starting with verse 10. It says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He gives the answer, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Verse 13 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." This is a spiritual blessing he's talking about here. And then he goes on and talks about physical blessing also. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts." In verse 15, "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, this blessing I'm talking about, or this law of giving, like I said, it's very, very difficult for us to put it in practice like we should. 2 Nephi, page 109, chapter 6, 58, says, "Oh, the vainness and frailties and the foolishness of men! When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not to the counsels of God. For they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. Therefore their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish." When they are learned, they think they are wise. But they don't understand this law, do they? Galatians, the 6th chapter. It tells us here, in starting with verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he soweth to his flesh, so that the flesh reapeth corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." You know, when we go out and plant something in a garden, or a farmer that goes out and plants wheat, he'll plant a relatively small amount. But he expects much in return. You know, that's about like living the gospel. If we do right, that's planting, and keep the commandments, that's the works required of us, then we can expect the increase, the blessings that will come. In the 12th chapter of Mark, it tells about the widow, about all the rich that were giving a little portion, but that the widow who gave her almost her all, her whole living, she gave. I'm sure she was much blessed of it because that she did that. In the 19th chapter of Alma, verses 78 through 80, it says, therefore, my son, see that ye are merciful unto your brethren, deal justly, judge righteously, and do good continually. And if ye do all these things, then ye shall receive your reward. Yea, ye shall have mercy restored unto you again. Ye shall have justice restored unto you again. Ye shall have righteous judgment restored unto you again. And ye shall have good rewarded unto you again. For that which ye do send out shall return unto you again and be restored. Therefore the word restoration more fully condemneth the sinner and justifieth him not at all. So what's the opposite of this law of giving? It's greed and selfishness and the getting of gain. You know, it's so much like the world today. Many of us here probably have read the story of Silas Marner. He was a miser. He loved the money. He was greedy for that money and loved it. But he lost it all. But he gained something. After the losing of that money, he gained riches far beyond what he could ever hope to collect in the way of money. He gained the love for and the love of another human being. Greed and selfishness are sins, which brings me around to another law. Really, the law of giving may be just part of this greater law, and that's the law of righteousness. The scriptures tell us that the end of righteousness is eternal life. The definition of righteousness, I wrote down here, it says, without guilt before God, acting in accord with God's laws and commandments. So what's the opposite of that? It's sin. When I first came to the church, Brother Bell took it upon himself to teach many of us, and many of us gained much from him. And one of the statements that he made is, sin is the cause of all misery, both here on earth and hereafter. You know, any misery that you might feel, that you might have as you go through this life, is a result of sin. But I want to assure you that it's not entirely your own fault. It's not entirely your own sin. It's the sins of the world, the sin that started in the Garden of Eden and has been the sins that have been occurring right down through the ages. They've all contributed to any miseries that we might find ourselves in and have to go through. But our own sins do add to our miseries too, so. Sin always leads to destruction. You know, there's two extreme examples right here in the latter part of the Book of Mormon. In the 5th and 6th chapters, especially of Ether, it tells about the complete destruction of the Jaredites. It was because of sin. And in the 1st and 2nd chapters of Mormon, it tells about the complete destruction of the Nephites. Again, it was because of sin. And only Moroni was left of those who did not go over to the side of the Lamanites. In the one verse here, one short verse in the first chapter of Nephi, the 3rd chapter of 1 Nephi, verse 2:12, it says, "And thou also hast heard that whosoever repenteth not must perish." I'll give us a prophecy of the future. In the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, read a few verses here, starting with verse 8. These things are not pleasant to hear, and I want us to listen to them so that we might be able to get our lives in order, that we might observe these laws of God, that we might escape the great part of this. I don't think any of us are going to escape the misery completely, but we can escape much of it. But listen. It says, "After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come back into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come up like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought." I want us to beware of the deception that's happening in the world right now. Oh, I know many people in that country over there in Russia are jubilant because of the changes that have been taking place. But it is my opinion that much of that is a deception. We are being deceived. That power, not the people, but that power is becoming stronger because of this. And that evil thought will become a sure thing in not the too distant future. And verse 11 says, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages." That's this land, brothers and sisters. "I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates." Why? "To take a spoil and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land." Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, "Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to take away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil?" Hungry. We have it here. They want it. They're going to come after it. "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army." Read about the same thing in the second chapter of Joel. "And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel." Now, where it says the land of Israel, that's this land. Don't be deceived that they're talking about that land over there. They've already thought the evil thought in that land and come over here. This is where Ephraim and Manasseh have come. This is Joseph's land. This and Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh had the name of Israel upon them. Okay. "God shall come against the land of Israel," it says in 18 here, "saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstones. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord." They will finally know that the Lord has done what he said he will do. And it behooves us, and you can go to the latter part of the second chapter of Joel, where it tells that those who are righteous will be protected. They will have a great blessing, and they will come out of this. But I think there will probably be many, many trials and tribulations and miseries to that point. The closer that we can get to God now, the closer and more righteous we can become, putting that sin out of our lives, going to that law of righteousness, and taking hold of this gospel, and doing the commandments of God. If we can do those things, we will escape at least some of this. It goes on in chapter 39 here. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and I will leave but the sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. It goes on and tells more about. See, Gog is being used here to wipe out the sins of this nation. And then Gog himself will be cut down. Verse 11 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall, and they shall bury Gog and all his multitude, and so on. 21 says, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen that shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hands that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day and forward. The scriptures warn us. Don't be a part of that. We've got to observe these laws of God so that we might escape at least a part of this, so that we can at least be given the blessings that will get us through this time, that we won't be part of this death. In Jeremiah, the 21st chapter, a couple verses here. Verse 8 says, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. He set this before us, the law of righteousness, righteousness, the way of life, sin, the way of death. Verse 10 says, for I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. This will happen again. Verse 14, but I will punish you according to the fruits of your doing, saith the Lord. I will punish you according to the fruits of your doing. Do righteousness, or whatever your sin is, he will punish you for that. Well, I wanted to read a couple verses in 22nd chapter of Jeremiah also here. Verse 16 in the 22nd chapter says, and he's talking to the wicked king about his father. It says, he judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was this not to know me, saith the Lord? When we do righteousness, that shows that we do know the Lord. And verse 21 says, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidest, I will not hear. This hath been the manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice. Let that not be to us. Let that be to others outside that do not know what we should know. In the Book of Commandments, in Latter-day Prophecy, page 112, a couple verses here, it says, starting with 32, it says, and in nothing doth man offend God, or against none is his wrath kindled, save those who confess not his hand in all things and obey not his commandments. Behold, this is according to the law and the prophets. Wherefore, trouble me no more concerning this matter, but learn that he who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive his reward, even peace in this world, peace in this world, and eternal life in the world to come. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and the Spirit beareth record. Amen. In Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, verses 17 and 18 says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. These are things we want. Verse 18 says, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Brothers and sisters, that's what we want. And we should know these laws of God and what it will take for us to reach that goal. 4th Nephi, page 683:17-21. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envyings, no strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. What was the result of this? And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, no murderers, neither were there Lamanites or any manner of ites, but they were in one the children of Christ and heirs to the kingdom. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered. Our goal. Because we know these laws, we should not be caught short. We should be righteous. We should be giving. And one thing that we can give, one thing that we can give to others is an understanding of these laws and the truthfulness of it. Probably more by the way we live our lives than by our words. We have to show them. If we give in this way, then the righteousness around us would increase. there would be less ministry to those we minister to, and because this law works, we would gain. We would gain in happiness, joy, and in love for each other and for others. And the numbers in our church would increase too. We would be preparing for that condition of Zion. You know, Zion has eluded us for all these years. We look forward to it, but we have not been able to reach out and obtain that goal that many of our those that have gone before us have tried to bring about. It's up to us. It's going to happen soon, whether we are part of it or not. It's my wish, my hope, my prayer that we will all be part of it. I thank you.